From KQED Radio News, I'm Sy Musiker. The Supreme Court ruled today that juveniles may not be locked up for life without chance of parole as long as they haven't killed anyone. The court ruled in a case out of Florida, but the decision also covers California and two prisoners here. Constance de la Vega co-authored an amicus brief filed in the Florida case. She's a professor of law at the University of San Francisco Law School and directs the Frank C. Newman International Human Rights Clinic. Ms. de la Vega, your brief argued that the U.S. is violating international standards in sentencing juvenile offenders to life without parole. We're the only country that does that. Why should what other countries do matter?
Since we're part of the world community and we're often trying to have other countries comply with human rights standards, that it would be good for us to comply with human rights standards as well.
The majority opinion did cite international standards, but Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a dissent in which he said international standards don't matter and that he would rely on punishment standards in force at the time the U.S. adopted the Bill of Rights. That was back in 1791. How do you respond to that?
There's a reason why our Constitution is the oldest living Constitution in the world, and that's because it's been interpreted in a flexible way to allow developments that have happened over the last 200 years plus. If we go back and have the Constitution read solely as it was when it was written, I don't think the Constitution would have survived this long. I also note that it's not like there's been a tradition to treat juveniles in such a hard way. It was in the United States, it was only until the mid-1990s that we started passing these laws that impose very difficult and hard punishments on juvenile offenders.
I checked with the Juvenile Justice Division at the California Department of Corrections today, and a spokesman said today's ruling applies to just two cases, both involving kidnapping for ransom. And we haven't been able to check the exact circumstances, but they involve a prisoner named Raul Lopez from a 1994 case and Enedino Calderon from a 2004 case. So what happens to these two men who were 16 or 17 at the time they committed their crime?
They will now be allowed to go back to the court that sentenced them and ask for a resentencing, which will probably result in a sentence that allows for parole after a certain period of time. The court was not clear as to how long kids could be held before they're allowed to have parole, but each state will be allowed to impose sentences that require a certain period of time before they can ask for parole.
They could rehabilitate themselves and,
yes,
and get a parole board to agree to their release.
They will be sentenced to a particular time period, and after that time period, they will be allowed to apply for parole, which does not necessarily mean that they will be released. They will have to show that they have been rehabilitated and that they will be productive members of society.
There are more than 200 people in California prisons serving life without parole sentences who are juveniles at the time of their crime, but they're not covered by this ruling, and that's because they killed someone or participated in a crime in which there was a homicide. What's your stance on the justice of those sentences?
I have two answers. One is still under international law, and the standards that we referred to in the brief we filed with the court is that under international law, nobody under the age of 18 should be sentenced to life without parole, period. So that's one answer. The other answer is that there was a recent report issued by Senator Leland Yee, who has a law pending in California trying to amend our law so that it's more proportionate to the crimes committed, that indicates less than half of those people who are serving these life without parole sentences actually did the killing. They were maybe there at the time that the crime occurred, but less than half of those kids actually killed somebody.
It seems, though, that even if they're a juvenile at the time of the crime, when they participate in such a heinous crime, one where someone is killed, that they've acted like an adult. Shouldn't they be sentenced like an adult?
The issue really is, and the court acknowledged this in the decision today, that kids' brains haven't developed to the point where they're actually acting like adults. They're not making reasoned decisions about what they're doing or the consequences of what they're doing. So that's why the court ruled that these sentences are disproportionate, because children cannot be treated the same as adults because their brains are not functioning at the same level as adult brains.
Thanks for talking to us.
Sure, anytime.
Constance de la Vega teaches law at the University of San Francisco Law School. I'm Sy Musiker, KQED Public Radio.